Today is my State of the Church address, and I always enjoy doing this. Feels a little presidential, doesn't it? Aren't you glad your hope's not in a candidate or a political party today? Our hope's in Christ. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Yeah, come on, give him praise. Yeah. Jesus is not Republican or Democrat, right? He is not interested necessarily in our political squabbles. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is seated on his throne, and we are here today to worship him and just to give him praise and glory and honor for all that he has done. And so, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022. And 2021 was a comeback year, wasn't it? 2021 was a comeback year for us as a church and as a nation as we emerged victorious from the COVID-19 pandemic. And although COVID continues, we've learned how to navigate and treat this unseen enemy, haven't we? However, our world is still just as divided as it has ever been, isn't it? We're divided on how to continue to manage the pandemic. We're divided on matters of national security and international relations. We're divided along political party lines. We're divided along gender and sexual lines, aren't we? We're divided on what to do to jumpstart our economy. I mean, we're divided more now than we have been since arguably the Civil War. And it's such a difficult time. However, the good news today is that heaven's not divided. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Yeah, listen, heaven is not divided. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is alive right now at the right hand of God. And I said this during 2020. This was a statement that we started saying here, but it bears repeating today, that during times of unprecedented obstacles, it also provides incredible opportunities, doesn't it, to reach people for Christ. There are some incredible opportunities in front of us right here in our own city, but also around our country and around our world to give hope and to make disciples. And so it's a time to be encouraged, isn't it, church? Yes, our hearts are heavy over maybe loved ones we've lost or over the difficulty we see around us, all the division and those things. But at the same time, it's an encouraging time. There's hope in Christ. Because we know he's coming again, and there are great opportunities in front of us to reach others for him. And so 2021 was a comeback year, and we have come back, I'm glad to announce to you and share with you today, we have come back as a church stronger than we've ever been. In fact, 2021 was a historic year for us. And our creative team, the guys in the back, do such an incredible job. They put together a video for us today. Just give you a little snapshot, not of everything that happened last year, but some highlights. So let's watch this together. Well, church, we just need to give God a hand on all that, don't we? Come on, let's just thank the Lord for all that He's done. What an incredible year we had, and to God be all the glory for that. So many lives have been changed, and some credit goes to you guys, too. And I just want to take a second to share with you from the bottom of my heart and my wife's heart as well how grateful we are for you, for your heart, for your attitude, for your service, your prayers, your support. We are the most blessed people in the world, my wife and I, to be able to do life in ministry with you. It's such an encouragement. And so many churches have struggled coming out of COVID for a multiplicity of reasons. But you have been so faithful to give, to serve, to pray, to encourage us, and to continue to support the work here of Giving Hope and making disciples here in Clarksville around the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are and what you do. All this stuff happened because of God, but also because of you, because of your willingness to get involved and to serve and give. It's some things to celebrate, right? We gave thousands of meals and dollars this past year to help our community coming out of COVID. We blessed hundreds, literally hundreds of teachers, administrators, and students in our public schools with things like appreciation meals, school supplies, and other support. You did that. God did that through you. We gave over $140,000 to our mission partners this year. Historic amount that we gave to our mission partners because of your giving. We invested over $50,000 in a Habitat house for a single mom, for Miss Cheyenne and for her son, Drayson. And what a blessing it was to be at that ceremony and to see her walk into that house and enjoy Christmas, be able to enjoy Christmas in that new house that we helped provide. We had thousands of people engage in online worship. So church, that's still a big deal. I don't know if you realize it or not, but many of the families who come and visit Living Hope make a decision about whether or not they're going to come to a church. And this is true across the board now, all churches. But make a decision based on where they're going to attend a church based on what they view online. And so online worship, although our in-person gathering now is back strong, online worship is still a big deal. So we want to continue to promote that, invest that, and push the gospel out, right, across the internet, especially across social media. We've had dozens, literally dozens of new families join our family groups. That's our small group Bible studies. You're going to start hearing a lot more about that now that we're into the first of the year. We want to make sure and get everybody in a group. But we've had dozens of new families join. Our men's and women's ministries. I know many of you have been involved in our men's and women's Bible studies and the events that we've done. We've had dozens experience love and life change through our men's and our women's ministries. I'm proud to share with you that this year you gave right over $2 million for the first time in the history of the church. It's so you gave in the midst of a pandemic and coming out of it. And what a blessing that's been. That's what's given us the ability to do all of this, do Habitat Homes, to give so much to our mission partners, to feed the hungry and the homeless in our city, to give school supplies. It's because you're giving. And so thank you for doing that. Chapel Hill Christian Academy here, the school that leases our building here, proud to share they're up to 176 students, 35 staff members, and they had 9 decisions for Christ this past year just through our school here. So, man, super excited about that. Tylertown, Pastor Irvin and our team at Tylertown have done an incredible job. They're running now over 250 consistently. In fact, they're over 300 on a good Sunday pretty often. And they baptized 32 people. They baptized 32 people this past year in 2021. So what an incredible success so far. A lot more work to do, but man, that's been so strong. And probably the greatest, I would say the most important part of all this, church, we baptized 71 people in 2021 coming out of a pandemic. Come on, let's give God praise for that. Isn't that exciting? I want to take a second. I know we've picked up actually a lot of new people. A lot of you are new to Living Hope just within this past year. So I want to make sure you know our lead staff. So I'm going to ask some of our lead staff members. Y'all come on, guys. Come on up front. I want to introduce all of y'all. Yeah, you can give them a hand. Thank God for our staff. And I want to share our lead staff with you. This is not the totality of our staff. All of our staff do an incredible job, and I thank God for each and every one of them. But these are the folks who lead the different ministry departments within our church. Kevin Short, come on up here, Kevin. This is our Minister of Operations, Kevin Short. Let's say thank you to Kevin for all that he does. John England, come on up here, John. John is our new family pastor, so in charge of, let's thank God for John, too. In charge of family groups, discipleship, men's and women's ministries, overseeing all of that here, and also helping a little bit with our kids ministry too. So John, we thank God for you. Miss Jessica, our kids minister, she takes care of all of our kiddos. Let's say thank you to Miss Jessica. Pastor Justin, right here, our worship pastor. Let's thank God for Pastor Justin and all that he does. Pastor Justin's been to Tylertown, so big attaboy for you, by the way. Thank you for doing that. Getting our team built up, our worship leader left Tylertown. Justin stepped in. We're proud to announce Chris Crow. If you know Chris, he's been here some leading with us. He's now the worship leader at our Tylertown campus. And so, Pastor Justin, glad to have you back, and glad to have Chris on staff with us as well. Blake Allen, our student pastor. Why don't we say thank you for Pastor Blake. And Cameron Clark, he snuck up here on me, our creative specialist. Everybody say thank you for Cameron and all that he does. He's the brains behind all the photo, video, social media, all that good stuff. And we've got so many other staff involved in so many places this morning. I do want to highlight two more. Pastor Greg. Pastor Greg is our missions and outreach pastor. He's not with us this morning. He's actually preaching at another local church here, another Sister Baptist church, that I've got some exciting news to share with you about in just a moment about that church and the partnership with them. But he's actually stepping in. The person was going to preach at Dunbar Cave Baptist this morning here in town had to be out because of COVID and some other issues. And so Pastor Greg, we're glad to share him this morning with Dunbar Cave. And then Pastor Irvin Waswa is our pastor at our Tylertown campus, doing an incredible job there. And so we thank God for them. Why don't we say thank you to our staff for them and all they do? Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you. They're headed back to kiddos and discipleship and all kinds of stuff. So thank y'all for who you are and what you do. Also want to take a second and recognize our trustees and our deacons. I think it's important that you know as a church who your lay leaders are and how they're involved. Okay, so for our trustees that are in the room, I know we may have one or two out today that are still on vacation. But if you would stand for us, I just want everybody to see you. Don't be shy. Come on, trustees, stand for us this morning. Let's say thank you to our trustees. Kevin Newell, Dan Dickerson, Elaine Best, Ross Rawlings, Janice Thompson, and Miss Jessica Clark. I don't see her. I think she's helping in kids today. I just remember that. Miss Jessica Clark's helping in kids. And then Ed Myers is our seventh trustee. He is at Tylertown, is invested at Tylertown. So let's say thank you once again to your trustees for their leadership. Thank you, trustees. You can grab a seat. For our deacons, don't be shy. I want our deacons to stand at this time also. I want you to know who our deacon body is, our servant leaders. We've got some of these guys out of town, okay? So Terry Best, Jonathan Clark, Forrest Sims, Adam Wilson is out today. Andrew Evans also is out today. And Tom Bigger out today, still on vacation during the break. Why don't we say thank you to our deacon body for their service to us? Thank you, men. Who does what? I think this is important. God put this in my heart today for you to understand. So we talk about state of the church. Well, how does a bill become a law, if you will? How do things happen at Living Hope? Well, it happens, first of all, through your prayers, through your thoughts, your vision. Man, as God puts things in your heart, come to us as a staff, trustees, deacons, share with us what's in your heart. But here's the general direction for how leadership moves and how ministry moves here at Living Hope. The pastors, our lead team that was up here, we take care of the P's, if you will. Prayer, preaching, pastoral ministry, the programs of the church, and the staffing, the personnel of the church. And so that's our role in that, is to lead the church spiritually and to help develop the leaders that God calls out here, okay? For our trustees, what do trustees do? They've got the B's, okay? Budgets, buildings, and bylaws. And so anytime you have questions about those things, you can come obviously directly to myself. I'll be glad to answer them. But also you can go to our trustee body, and they'll be glad to answer any question you have about budgets, buildings, and bylaws. I thank God for a team of lay leaders who have those gifts of leadership, administration, those things. that we can employ alongside of us as pastors. Because I don't know if you figured this out or not. Pastor Derek don't know everything. Did y'all know that? I know you're so surprised today to know that Pastor Derek doesn't know everything. And so that's why we love to bring our lay people alongside, because they have giftedness in areas that I don't have, our pastors don't have, and we thank God for their leadership. Deacons, what do our deacons do? Well, they've got the S's: serving, shepherding, and sharing Christ. So the deacon body comes alongside our pastors and helps us carry out pastoral ministry, if you will. Shepherding the body, making a phone call or two, making a visit. COVID made that hard when it comes to hospital visits and those things. But coming alongside and just and doing ministry, carrying out the hands-on work of the ministry. So I thank God for our deacons as well. So I hope that helps you. Does that help this morning for you to know kind of who does what and how that works? It's so with that said, as a church, what do we do? The business of the church is God's business, isn't it? It's not just buildings, budgets, and bylaws. It's not just programs and personnel. No, the work of God is prayer. It's sharing Christ. It's making disciples. And so just want to remind you today of our purpose. Why do we exist? Well, Matthew 22, Jesus told us, if you're a child of God today, we exist to love God and love people. That's why we exist. That's the reason for your very existence and mine today. The God who made us invites us into a relationship with Him. Our sin has separated us from God. But aren't you glad that Jesus bridged that gap between us and God with the cross? And through His shed blood, when I turn from my sin and trust in Him, I'm made right with God. It's a loving God. By the way, that's what salvation is. That's what it means to be a child of God, to be born again. It doesn't just mean you're a member of a church, as important as that is. It first means that you love God and you have a relationship with Him. And then secondly, the extension, if you will, of that purpose of loving God is that we're called to love people, to express His love. And so loving God, loving people. What's our mission? Well, it's giving hope and making disciples. And I hope you see that clearly when we talk about Habitat Houses and working with Manna Cafe here in our city and blessing our teachers and administrators and our school system in different ways. We believe in giving hope, the incarnational ministry of Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't stay in heaven and say, hey, y'all need to come to me. Y'all need to figure this out. That's not what He did. He left heaven and came to us, didn't He? And so that's what we want to do. We want to give hope. And in 2022, we just want to continue to do that in incredible ways, church. Radical generosity, right? Radical investment in this city with money, with time, but even more importantly, with real relationships with those who are in need. So giving hope, making disciples. What do we value? When we talk about discipleship, well, then what does a disciple value? Well, we value Christ above all, don't we? The Bible is our foundation. It's not just a book with a bunch of suggestions in it or nice stories. The Bible is our foundation. It's God's word to us. We value worship. I hope you see that on Sundays. Worship as our expression. And this year, one of the things you're going to hear me talk about a lot, church, is I want to see us worship. On Sunday mornings, man, our band does such an incredible job, don't they? They do such an incredible job. But sometimes, I don't know about you, I'll catch myself just staring and admiring the talent that God's given us. And our team has such an incredible heart. They don't want it to be that way. We all want to get in and worship, to express our worship, to sing, to lift up holy hands, to lift up our voice to God and worship Him. It's a worship. We value worship. We value prayer at all times. You're going to hear a lot more about prayer this year and more times of corporate prayer together. We're bringing back our ministry, House of Prayer. So about once a month on Sunday nights, we're going to gather together here at Sango. And we're going to pray. We're going to have a night of just prayer and praise. It's so we value prayer. We value giving as a blessing. Generosity. God gave us Jesus. Least I can do is give my tithe back to His church and bless others who are in need. So giving as a blessing. We value serving, not just as an option, but as a way of life. We value what? Inviting all to Christ. Everybody, man, everybody is welcome in God's kingdom. God welcomes us just as we are, but aren't you glad that He doesn't let us stay the same? I mean, He welcomes us in and says, I love you right where you're at, but let me tell you about the life I've got for you. Turn from all that junk, right? And that's what it means to come to Christ. Turn from our sin, trust in Him. And then number eight, lastly there, we value what? People above performance. People matter. People matter, not just numbers and buildings and those things. Those are important things, but they're not the most important. The most important part of this church, listen to me, is you. You and the people of this community. It's people, isn't it? It's about the relationships here. That's what makes your faith feel like your family, is when you begin to build relationships. When the church, listen to me, boy, we dealt with this during COVID, didn't we? When the church is no longer a transactional experience, I'm not just here to come to a service. No, I'm here to build relationships with the people within that body. It's transformational. Every time we gather together, God wants to do something. The Spirit of God wants to break some stuff free in your life, as we sang this morning. He wants to break those chains in our life, and we all carry them at times. He wants to come in and do something transformative. And also, God wants us to be in relationship with others. He created us for community. So we need one another. And boy, haven't we learned that coming out of a pandemic, how we need one another. And so, man, we value people. Just a reminder, this past fall, we launched our all-in campaign, didn't we, church? We launched our all-in campaign. Coming out of COVID, God's put in our heart, it's time to go all in. We're jumping off the high dive, man, into the deep end of the pool. Man, head first, whole body, man, immersed in Jesus and in His work. And that's what God's called us to. So just want to remind us of our all-in vision. We're all in for who? For Jesus. It's first all about Him. We're all in for our city. We're going all in for kids. Remember, our city is full of young families and young children included in that. And so, man, we want to go all in for the folks right around us. We're also going all in for the church. And so God's called us to build here at Sango, also to build for our Tylertown campus. And God's given us 13 acres of land here, right across the road from us here, to build on. And so what an incredible blessing. What does all in look like? Well, it looks like this, doesn't it, church? This is what all in looks like. It looks like working with Manna Cafe to continue to give, man, thousands of groceries to hundreds of families multiple times a year. It looks like school supplies, man, right there, a team taking school supplies to our local schools. It looks like us giving and blessing our school system in that way. It looks like Habitat Houses. We've made a commitment through All In, if you'll remember, for the next 3 years to do a Habitat House every year for the next 3 years. It's so, man, God is at work in that, and what a blessing that is to serve our community in that way. And special needs ministry is something God's put in our heart as we talk about building new buildings, especially putting some special needs spaces in those buildings and continuing to minister to families in these days who have special needs kids. And so that's just a reminder. All in, going all in is about life change, isn't it? It's about all those faces that you saw in that video of folks this past year who were saved and baptized, believers who God did a fresh work in their heart, and they're stepping out and doing ministry or giving generously or serving in significant ways by faith. And so that's what all in looks like. And so with that said, I wanted to share our timeline with you. Now, how many of you know that COVID costs and supply chain issues are for real? Come on now, how many of you know that right now in your business or what you're doing? So with that said, our trustees are continuing to move forward with our architect. We're looking at choosing a contractor, keeping that process moving, securing our funding, right? All of that good stuff to get started building. But it looks like we're going to move it 12 months to the right. Got it? See that? 12 months to the right. Initially, we said we would like to break ground this coming spring, but costs have risen pretty good bit just since we started talking about this. And also, supply chain issues are for real. For example, talking with contractors, they're telling us it could take us as long as 12 months just to get the steel, to get the building framed up. So just want to share that with you. So we're looking at spring of 2023. So what does that mean? Give. Man, keep giving. If you're not in on our all-in campaign, let me encourage you to get in on it because that's going to help us. It gives us another 12 months to raise some funds, so it actually will help us a little bit, church. So everybody tracking? Yes? Give me the north-south this morning, Living Hope Faithful. Got to know. Okay, I want to make sure everybody's tracking on that. So exciting times for all-in. Continuing to move, man, one day at a time. And let me encourage you to continue to give. And if you're not signed up to give, to our all-in campaign. You can go online, livinghopeclarksville.org, click the give button. You can give to our all-in campaign there. You've also got cards in the seat back in front of you. You can write all in, and we can go ahead and get you connected to that, and you can drop it in a collection box in the back. But let me encourage you to continue to give. Now, with that said, in the midst of all this, we've had an interesting strategic opportunity come up that God's kind of laid in our lap. And about 3 years ago, before COVID ever hit, the pastor of Dunbar Cave Baptist, I referred to that church earlier, Pastor Greg is there this morning preaching, but the pastor of Dunbar Cave Baptist and I, we became friends and started talking together, and he was in his 70s, and of course still is, he's in his late 70s now, but his health was starting to fail him, and the church had gotten down to about 25, 30 people, and so he and I started talking about, well, how could Living Hope come alongside and maybe help them do a vacation Bible school? Help them do some ministry? How can we encourage you and help you? And long story short, we started those discussions. Then COVID hit, and we all kind of, you know, rallied our troops back together and focused on serving our own body first. But then coming out of COVID, the pastor there reengaged and just said, hey, have you thought any more about this? And so we started talking and praying together, and the church coming out of COVID had gotten down to about 15, 20 people. All of them were sweet saints of the Lord, sweet senior adults, but just didn't have the physical energy to do a whole lot of ministry, to carry out a lot of that. And so, long story short, Dunbar Cave Baptist, by the way, it's located off Dunbar Cave Road, right over by Dunbar Cave State Park. They have asked us to consider taking them on as another campus. Okay? So we are currently praying through that together as a staff and with our trustees and our deacons. But it looks like that's a very real possibility. So Pastor Greg is preaching there today. And Pastor Blake, our student pastor, doesn't he do a great job communicating the gospel and preaching here? He's been invested team teaching with me for the past year. So Pastor Blake is going to go over there starting next Sunday, January the 9th, and we're going to walk through a 40-day prayer and a focused discussion process with them. So for the next 40 days starting next Sunday, Pastor Blake's going to preach on Sundays over there, and Tennessee Baptist has a resource called 40 Days of Prayer for Church Revitalization. So we're going to walk through that with them. Just pray with them. Let's talk together. And at the end of that 40-day period, it looks like they will hold a vote to become a campus of Living Hope, to become Living Hope members, okay? And so we'll keep you updated in that process. There's still a lot of water to go under that bridge, if you will, before we get to a vote. But let's just make that a matter of prayer. Can we do that, Living Hope faithful especially? And we want to be encouragers. We want to love on them. And we want to do ministry there and revive the dream. That's what we're there to do, is to just be encouragers and help revive the dream. Okay? So, for 2022, it looks like another campus taking on this church and starting new ministry there. And then once again, our timeline for All In, then just continuing our All In movement also. 2023 is our goal, to break ground on a building here. Tylertown right after that, and then starting intentional ministry in New Providence, which would be a fourth campus. But that's all in God's hands, isn't it, church? We make our plans, we've prayed, we believe God's put it in our heart, but we give them to the Lord, don't we? And he is the one who directs our steps. So we just want to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his direction, okay? And as we get towards the end here, I want to share with you again a promo video that our team put together, just to give you a picture of the building at Sango. Remember, when we're giving to All In, it's to life change. And building this building will just give us the opportunity to launch out and continue to bless folks in our community. Gives us a place to gather, to pray, to seek the heart of God, then to go out and give hope and make disciples. So let's take a second, watch this video together.
Church, it is such an exciting time to be a part of this ministry. The Lord is calling us to go all in, and he's given us $2 million of land to build on. Our pastors and trustees have been working together with Vision Architects, and we've designed an incredible building. I can't wait to share it with you. Come on, let's go check it out together. Let's start outside. I'm excited to introduce to you Hope Park and Hope Field. Hope Park will include an outdoor playground, a full basketball court, a pavilion, and a splash pad. Hope Field will be a massive green space where teams can come and have practices, families can run and play, and where we can host great community events. Hope Park and Hope Field will be emphatic statements to our community that you are welcome here and that this is a place of hope. Now let's walk up to the building. The building's going to be a beautiful structure with modern aesthetic elements. Right outside the main entrance will be a magnificent fountain where we can do outdoor baptisms. The colors will be warm and inviting, and there will be a nice canopy for cars to drop off passengers in the dry when it's raining. It's going to be a very appealing structure. As you enter the building, you'll notice large amounts of movement space and the modern look of the hallways. There'll be many spots for folks to sit and talk and drink coffee and just hang out and get to know one another. And right in the middle of the foyer area is going to be an indoor playground. This indoor playground will be a place where kids can come and play. Families can host birthday parties and other gatherings. Man, it's going to draw people into our doors. It's going to be awesome. Right down the main hallway will be our kids and preschool spaces. These spaces will be fun and exciting with lots of color and kids decor. There will be space to worship, to play games, to study God's Word, and to grow in Christ. Also included in this area will be sensory elements and rooms for special needs kids to thrive and where special needs families can come be loved on. This space is going to be such a blessing. Now let's walk into the doors of our brand new worship space. Inside will be cutting edge sound and multimedia technology. There will be plenty of seating both on the floor and in stadium seats. There will be excellent video production equipment so that we can broadcast this message of hope all around the world. No more setting up and taking down chairs or equipment every week. Man, I can just see thousands of people worshiping, praying, and responding to the call of the gospel here every Sunday. Oh, the life change that is going to happen in this place. Church, it's time to go all in. It's time to make a statement that Jesus is Lord, there's hope in Him, and the church is essential. What's it going to take to make this dream a reality? What's it going to take to make this building come to life? It's going to take all of us praying and giving. And so I'm asking you right now to begin praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit on this city and this ministry. And I'm asking you to give financially. You can go to livinghopeclarksville.org and you can give straight from our website and you can gather more information from there as well. What's it going to take to make this dream a reality? It's going to take all of us going all in. So come and join us.
Well, isn't that awesome, man, just to see the vision that God's put in our heart. And church, I want to encourage us and remind us, buildings are important, but it's simply a place for us to mobilize and then to go out and do ministry in this community. I mean, can you just see kids all over the splash pad and the playground? Can you see families all over the fields? Listen to me, church, that's what it's about. I hope you catch the vision. It's not about bricks and mortar. It's about life change. Isn't that right? It's about lives. And so this gives us the opportunity to continue to grow, but then to mobilize and to go out together and continue to reach this city in incredible ways. With that said, 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds us of that mission and what God's building. What God's building. It says, we come to Him, Jesus, He's the living stone which has been rejected, but in the sight of God He's chosen and He's precious. That's why we gather, isn't it? It's because of Jesus. We gather to pray, to worship, to seek His heart, to lift Him up so that the world will come to know Him as well. And then in verse 5, it says this, you yourselves, those of us who know Christ, are living stones and we're being built up as a spiritual house. Why would we invest in God's church? Well, because God's at work in it. What else would you invest in? What else would I want to give my life to? I don't know about you, but I want to give my life to the movement of God's kingdom. And again, that's more than a building. It's about the movement of God's church. It's about a strong, vibrant church being here for our kids and our grandkids. It's about Clarksville being changed and many being reached for Him here in this city because of a group of people that say, man, we're here to give hope and make disciples, not to be critical, bitter, and cynical in this culture. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Not to sit and rail against all the stuff we see in the world. No, it's more than ever. There's never been a better time to get in on God's work, to give, to serve, to pray, to pour your whole life into it than now. Than right now. Because Jesus is coming again, and it could be very soon, church. And so we're being built up to be what? A holy priesthood. To offer what? Spiritual sacrifices. It's a lot more than money and time. We're talking about prayer and worship, loving God, and loving people. To offer those sacrifices. And then in verse 9, it tells us here, it says that we are, those of us who know Christ, are a chosen race. That's our identity. Chosen out, God's children. A royal priesthood. That's our responsibility. Prayer and praise. That's the life of a child of God, is to lift up prayer to the Lord, to praise Him with all that we are and all that we have. We're a holy nation. That speaks to our destiny, doesn't it? That when you know Christ, you can know for sure because of what Jesus did on the cross and His resurrection. By faith in Him, you're going to be in heaven one day. But also that holy nation, that kingdom, is now. We express that kingdom by glorifying God in this world and inviting others to know Him. So we're a holy nation, we're a people for His own possession, right? That's authority. Jesus is the authority over our life. We don't possess anything, we're actually possessed of Him. Isn't that right? You see that there? So that's the authority, the accountability over our life. But then lastly, we see here our duty. Why? Why did He do this? Why did He save us? So that we would proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. That's why He saved us, is to give hope and make disciples. To give hope, the hope of Jesus, to this world. And so what do we do with all this, church? What do we do with this? I want to challenge you with four things as we begin this new year. Two words you're going to hear a lot about are prayer and care. Prayer and care. Those are two words that God's put in my heart and the heart of our staff. Renewed these passions in our heart. Number one, for prayer. So let me challenge you to commit to pray. We start our 21-day season of prayer and fasting. We do this at the beginning of every year. We start it next Sunday. Okay? We'll have resources available starting for you next Sunday, a devotional that you can take home with you and walk through with us. And I'm challenging you to pray. Listen, your Christian life goes as prayer goes. Victory in your life, your spiritual life goes as prayer goes. The church goes as prayer goes. So prayer, second word that's big on our heart is care. Coming out of COVID, God's taught us we need to do a better job of caring for people. Come on, church, isn't that right? And that starts right here within our own body. It starts with pastors, trustees, deacons, family group leaders, all the way down the line. So we need to care for one another. We need to call each other. We need to have coffee together. We need to talk about what's going on in our lives together and pray for each other and encourage each other. So prayer and care. But I want to give you two other words as well. Give. Give. Church, just to be real forthright with you, listen, we need you to give. If this vision is going to become a reality, give. I challenge you to give more financially this year than you've ever given to God's work. And I challenge you to give more time to serving God through His church, but also in the community with our mission partners. I challenge you to give more time as well than you've ever given. And then fourthly, I challenge us to share. Listen, God's put a fresh burden in my heart. I need to share my faith. And I don't mean this in a legalistic way. I mean it in a desire of my heart way. I need to share my faith personally more often than I do. We all need to get back to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. Your co-workers, neighbors, family members and friends, people all around us need Jesus. And God's kingdom work is the most important thing that we do. And so God's challenging us this year to share, to invite our neighbors to Christ. Invite them to church and invite them to Jesus. Every Sunday, don't come alone. Invite somebody. It's not about numbers. It's not so we can say we've got this many more in worship. But no, no, it's about life change. One person, one family at a time. That's what it's about. It's about hope. So with that said, I have to ask as we finish up today, first of all, do you know Jesus? Just because you're here today, just because you're attending a worship gathering or you're watching our service online, doesn't mean that you know Jesus. See, coming to Christ is not just a transaction. It's not just coming and being a part of a service and then going home and, you know, kind of having a, you know, okay feeling in my conscience, thinking, well, you know, I did my religious duty today. No, that's not salvation. Salvation is knowing Jesus, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, have you turned from your sin and placed faith in Jesus, the one who died for our sins and rose from the dead? If not, in just a moment, we're going to pray together, and I invite you to call on the name of Jesus. Call on His name and be saved today. Children of God, how's your prayer life? What about your witness? How intentional are we being in our witness? What about your commitment to God's Word as we start a new year? What's your plan to seek Him this year? What about giving? Are you giving? If not, start giving today. See God bless your life. Let's go all in. All in for Christ.